Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Red Chapel. I'm reminded this morning when Sonia and I and our two children decided that we would follow God's plan to plant Red Chapel. We had two prayers in the beginning of planting this church. One was I had this unique prayer. I said, God, I want you to give me as much love for people as I can handle, as much of your love. I know I can never love people like God does, but I wanted as much of his love for people that I can handle. Number two, I said, God, we want to pastor a multiracial, multi-ethnic church. And we've seen that happen. So thank you to men like Dr. Martin Luther King who paved the way for us to be here on Sunday morning, all worshiping together. The book of Revelation says when we get to heaven, it'll be people of every nation, every creed, every language, all together worshiping Jesus. So we just want a little bit of heaven on earth here at Red Chapel in 2018. Well, I want to jump in this morning. We're in this series to start off the new year called Sand and Stars, and we're studying this crazy promise that God gives to a man by the name of Abraham. And today, I kind of want to talk about some of the process of Abraham's dream coming to pass. And as I was thinking about this sermon this week, I was reminded over the holidays for New Year's, I took Sonia and Megan and Drew. We flew up to Seattle to be with some friends of ours who pastor a church in Bothell, Washington. And Bothell's about 30 minutes outside of Seattle. And we love to go there. So we stayed for a couple of days there, right downtown Seattle, right near the water. And on Saturday night, we had met up with them, and we were making plans for Sunday morning. Well, they had church on Sunday morning, but we didn't want to go to church. We were going to sleep in. So I think what I'm about to tell you, it all started. That's where the problems all started. We decided to stay home from church on Sunday morning. But anyway, Sunday morning, we decided that Sunday morning when they got out of church, we'd have brunch around 12 o'clock. And so Sunday morning came, we slept in. I think we were watching a movie, just chilling, relaxing. And about 12 o'clock, I hadn't heard from Chris. And so I shot him a text message and said, hey, man, just checking to see where you're at. Because he told me they're going to come by and pick us up at 12 o'clock. And by now it's 12 o'clock. I'm getting hungry. I typically eat lunch like around 11 o'clock every day. So 12 o'clock, I haven't had breakfast or lunch. And you can imagine how I'm feeling. I'm starting to get agitated, grumpy, a little bit angry. And so I decide I'm going to start blowing up his cell phone. I start texting him like, hey, dude. Where are you at? You said 12 o'clock, man. We're hungry. Let's do this. And he texted back. He said, man, dude, I'm sorry. We got delayed at church today. We were meeting with people. And I said, hey, listen, man. He said, I'm coming over right now. I can be there about 12:30. I said, hey, shoot me the address of where you want to go eat, and we'll meet you there. Because I want to get this going fast. We want to eat now. And I don't want to wait any longer. So he shoots me the text. He says, meet me at the restaurant called the Palisades. The Palisades. And so I pull out my Uber app and decide, all right, we'll catch you. Well, I tell him we'll meet him there. So I pull out my Uber app and I type in Palisades. Our Uber driver shows up like 2 or 3 minutes later. We're in the car. We're driving. A few minutes go by and I'm on my phone. I think I was like playing on some app or something. And about 15 minutes go by and we're still not at the restaurant. And we're going away from the city. And I thought he told me we're eating like downtown Seattle. And so 15 minutes go by. I'm like, all right, maybe we're just taking the long route, you know, the scenic route. And 20 minutes go by, 25 minutes go by. I look back at the back seat and I'm like, Sonia, I thought Chris said we're eating, you know, downtown. I said, well, we must be eating near his home somewhere because he lives about 30 minutes away. So a few minutes later, we pull up to an apartment complex called the Palisades. And I said, ma'am, we got the wrong place. And she looks at me and says, I'm just going where you told me to go. So I text them. It's like 12:30 now. Now I'm really agitated. Now I'm really hungry and really angry. I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's like, Palisades. So I type in Palisades. There was two Palisades. I was so angry and so hungry that I overlooked the Palisades. We pull up to the restaurant, the Uber driver, she looks over at me, she's kind of smiling. She said, did you know this place is only about 5 minutes from your hotel room? But I just couldn't handle that delay of waiting for Chris an extra few minutes. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today, because I think we've all at some point in our lives have tried to take something in our own hands, to make it happen faster, to make it happen quicker or whatever. And I guarantee you that each of us have had something like this blow up in our faces. We think that delays must be taken care of, that they need to be avoided. They got to be worked around. But often when we try to do that, we just end up creating more problems for ourselves. We end up wasting more time than we would have if we would have just walked or waited out the delay. Just waited out the delay. I'm sure you'd agree with me this morning that our society is so fast-paced that nobody wants to wait for anything. And yet many times, here's what I've discovered, many times I've discovered the waiting is necessary. The waiting is necessary. Many times the delay is even for a reason. There's a reason for the delay. And so I thought what we'd do is we looked at the life of Abraham today. I want you to take, I've got a handout for you this morning because I've got some things I want to share with you I think are important. I think they'll help you as you travel through the rest of 2018. And every one of us are going to encounter delays, right? Whether it's at the airport, whether it's in traffic jams, there are life decisions that these are all familiar places that we're going to encounter delays. And so I want to pose this question this morning, and it's simply this: what do we do with a delay? What do we do with a delay? And I want to take it all the way back to the Old Testament to see how our man that we're talking about, this man named Abraham, how he dealt with the biggest delay of his life, the delay of God's promise. The delay, that remember that miraculous promise that God had given Abraham and told him, you are going to be the father of many nations. Your descendants will outnumber the sand of the seashore and the stars of the sky. And here was the problem, is at this point when God makes Abraham this promise, Abraham has no children. And yet God's telling him he's going to be the father of a great nation. And then to complicate matters, we find out that Abraham at this point is about 75 years old. And I think he's kind of come to grips with the fact that he's probably not going to have any kids. And right in the middle of this season of Abraham's life, God gives him this gigantic miracle of the promise that he will in fact become a father and he will give birth to a vast number of descendants. And that's what we talked about for the last couple of weeks. We picked up in Genesis chapter 15. And then here's what happens. For about 10 years after that, we don't hear anything. We don't hear anything. From Genesis chapter 15 to Genesis chapter 16 is a period of time of about 10 years. So you can imagine 10 years go by and Abraham and Sarah, his wife, still haven't conceived any children. 10 years and they're living every day with the words of God echoing in their heads that they would be the parents of a child. And we discover that they start to get kind of sick and tired of the delay to God's promises. I mean, this couple has tried. They've tried to trust. They've tried to be faithful. But they think at this point, it's just time to take things into their own hands. They need to get the ball rolling. They decide they're going to help God with this delay. And so Sarah, this what I'm about to share with you here, shows you how frustrated they are with the delay of God's promise. Sarah, Abraham's wife, comes up with this plan. Listen to this plan. Tell me if any of you wives would come up with this type of a plan to help God with this delay. Sarah, Abraham's wife, she's born him no children. She has an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. I don't think I need to get any more detail of what she's telling her. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. And Abraham's like, oh yeah, that sounds good to me. He listens to the voice of Sarah. And after Abraham had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abraham's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and she gave him to her husband, Abram, as his wife. I don't think any of you ladies are going to be trying that anytime soon. It shows you she is so frustrated with God's delay that she comes up with this crazy plan. So here's what happens. Hagar bears Abram a son. And Abraham calls the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. So they want the promise to happen so bad that they decide to make it happen. They decide that they've waited long enough and they're going to take things in their own hands. And yet it wasn't the way that God had promised that it would come to pass. This was not the promise according to God's plans. And eventually it goes on to bring all kinds of conflict to Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah and Hagar. I mean, can you imagine all the conflict and chaos that ensues from this genius plan by Sarah? Sarah later would have a son. And there's conflict now between Ishmael, the son from Hagar and Abraham, and Isaac, the son between Sarah and Abraham. And there's all this tension. In fact, the tension mounts to the point that at one point, Sarah tells Abraham, I want you to kick Hagar and Ishmael out of this house. It's like, it's either me or her. And Abraham does. Abraham forces Hagar and Ishmael to leave, sends them out into the desert with nothing. This is how bad the tension and the conflict starts. We still live with this tension today because they didn't know what to do with a delay. Today, the descendants of Ishmael are the Muslims. The descendants of Isaac are the Jews. And you only have to go a couple of days and open up the newspaper, listen to the news, and you hear the tension that's constantly mounting because Abraham didn't know what to do with the delay. It's 10 years, 16 years at this point, and Abraham and Sarah's quick fix backfires in this colossal way. And yet God still remains faithful to them and still maintains his promise. The promise that didn't happen for 10 years, for 16 years. In fact, what we're going to pick up this morning, it's 25 years later and still nothing has happened for Abraham and Sarah. And finally, God comes through in Genesis chapter 1. The Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he promised. As he promised. Watch this. So Abraham conceived, and she bare a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time. At the appointed time. At the appointed time. See, it wasn't in their timing, so they took it into their own hands. But God, just as he had promised, he fulfills his promise in his appointed time at which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah born to him, Isaac. Now Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. Finally, God's promise to Abraham comes to pass. Almost 20 years, 25 years after the promise was given to him, Abraham finally saw it come to fruition. And it was a complete, just like God had said, it was a complete and total miracle, just as God had promised. Abraham has his promised son, a son who would go on to have 12 sons, and they would go on and they would have sons as well, and their descendants would continue to multiply and multiply. And in the end, the delay did not derail the promises of God. They didn't derail God's plan. In fact, it was part of God's plan all along. The delay that consumed Abraham and Sarah was not a surprise to God. And here's the reality this morning, is that each and every one of us are going to experience delays in our life. We'll experience complications to the promises that God gives us. Abraham learned the hard way, but if we take a look at his life, I think we can see some guidelines to shape the way that we deal with delays on our own. So what I did is I had them print you out a nice little handout this morning. This is something you can hang on your refrigerator, put a magnet to your mirror, because I think it is critically important this year that you know how to deal with a delay. Because there's going to be delays in your life. There's going to be delays to God's promises in your life. And I think if we were to ask Abraham today, what to do with a delay, there are three things that I came up with that I think Abraham would say to us. And the first one this morning, I think Abraham would say this, and you can follow along with me in your handout. Abraham would say, number one, stay the course. Whatever you do, stay the course. Abraham was given this promise 25 years before it came to pass. And yet that delay did not alter the truth that the destination was still ahead, because delays do not derail God's promises for us. So wherever you're at in life this morning, whatever promises of God that you have that are still outstanding, none of that matters to God's timeline. God's going to do what he said he's going to do when he said he's going to do it. Abraham would say, stay the course. Stay the course. Common sense sometimes would tell us when we're dealing with a delay to maybe figure out an alternate route. Maybe it would be to detour. For some of us, common sense would tell us to turn back or maybe to go a different way. But simply stay the course. Abraham would say, stay the course and trust that God knows what he's doing. And that oftentimes he's at work behind the scenes even when we can't see him doing anything. I know you get frustrated and you want to plan your own way and go your own route or pick your own direction. Abraham would say, stay the course. You may not see it, but God's at work doing something in your life. So you may think a delay is a negative or it's a setback in your life. But could it be simply that God is wanting to grow you at this time in your life during a delay? Here's what I've learned in life, is a lot can be learned while you're waiting. A lot can be learned in life while you're simply waiting. A lot of growth can happen when you're waiting. And so here's what I would propose to you this morning. Some of you that are in this season of your life where you're in a delay and you're frustrated and you're agitated and you're starting to get angry and you're wanting to choose your own path, is here's what I would propose to you. Could it be that you may be waiting because God is preparing you for something that he already has prepared for you? That is good. My God, thank you. I agree with that. That's good. Write that down this morning. Could it be that the reason you're waiting is because God is preparing you for something that he's already prepared for you? Some of you are here this morning and you're single and you're in a delay. Like, you are single, ready to mingle, ready to get hooked up, ready to get married, ready to start life with that hunk of a guy or that beauty queen, and you're ready to, things ain't working out as fast as you want them to, and you want to leave the course and pick your own route. Could it be that during this season of your life, God is just preparing you for what he already has prepared for you? The truth is, some of you, man, if that guy's seen you in the state that you're in today, there's no chance, honey. It's not happening. Like, God's got a lot of work to do on you. Guys, if she's seen you right now, it's not going to happen. She's looking past you. She's overlooking you. There's some work, and I know it's frustrating, but there's a lot that can be learned while you're waiting, and God could be just during this season of your life, he's trying to prepare you for something he already has prepared for you. I told my wife this morning. I was trying to think of a cool cliche way to help some of you that are single this morning, and this is what I came up with this morning. I told my wife, Sonia, I said, Sonia, I'd rather be lonely for a minute than miserable for a lifetime. Hello, that was good too. And some of you single people need to write that down right now. I'd rather be lonely for a minute than miserable for a lifetime. Some of you think you gotta pick your own way. You gotta choose your own path. And you don't understand. God's saying, wait. That's not the one I got for you. Hagar wasn't meant for you, Abraham. I got something prepared for you. Just simply stay the course. Stay the course, and during the season, let God grow you. I love Peter. Peter writes about how we can add to our faith. And he says in 2 Peter 1, he says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises, right? We're talking about God's promises for your life. Respond to God's promises. But during the delay, Peter says, supplement your faith. Supplement your faith. Maybe some things that God wants to add to your life right now, and it'll only come while you're in the waiting room. Here's what he says. He says, "With supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence and moral excellence with knowledge and knowledge with self-control and self-control with patient endurance and patient endurance with godliness and godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love for everyone." Peter's saying, while you're in the waiting room, since you're waiting anyways, why don't you just supplement your faith? Why don't some of you go to college? Add some knowledge to your life. You may never get this opportunity again to try to go back and add knowledge to you. Add some self-control. Like, take this season of your life. He's saying supplement your faith. A lot can be added to your life while you are waiting. While you're waiting, because during the waiting, that's when God's growing us. He's adding to our faith. The waiting is vital to us being ready to receive the promise. I was sharing this with my wife this week, and some of you know she's in her doctorate program to become a psychologist because we've been married for 17 years, and she couldn't figure out how to stay with me, and she's like, I got to go get a degree to deal with you. And so it's taken years, and she still hasn't figured me out. I like to keep her on edge. And so, no, I'm just kidding. But she was telling me, as I was sharing this, she says, it reminds me, she said, one of the things that we're teaching, she deals with adolescents and children, and she says, one of the tools that we're equipping children with is what's called distress tolerance. Distress tolerance. And she says it's a fundamental skill that needs to be taught to children, that we're teaching them how to regulate their emotions and how to stand under stress, right? As parents, when our kids are in times where, you know, they're getting picked on or there's tough time, we immediately want to shelter them, protect them from anything. But she says we need to be instructing and teaching our kids this distress tolerance. She said spiritually it's important because the more difficult situations that we're able to sit in and keep on going and keep our faith and doing what we're supposed to do, it builds our tolerance. It makes us more mature as Christians. And God's saying, I'm trying to grow you. Don't try to avoid the delay. Don't pick a different path. Just stay the course. It's during this season of your life that I'm building up your tolerance. Could it be that in order for him to put you in places of prominence and influence, that he needs to know that you can handle it? And you're trying to rush the process. God's saying, just wait. Just wait. Just stay the course. I think Abraham would say the bottom line is this: if the GPS isn't saying anything, then keep staying the course. Stay the course. The second thing that we must realize during the delay is that there aren't any shortcuts. And I think Abraham and Sarah would both, if they could do things over, if they could speak to us today, they would say, sorry, because this one's a hard one to digest, so I just wrote it like this. Sorry, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. Shortcuts are one of those really sketchy things in life. We've all heard about the get-rich-quick schemes, all right? Or you can lose 20 pounds in 1 week, right? You can become a millionaire overnight. Or you can build a social media following of 20,000 people in just a couple of minutes. But here's what I've discovered about shortcuts. Is shortcuts always come with a price. There's always a cost to a shortcut. Especially when we think about trying to find shortcuts in life. See, the road to success doesn't really offer any shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. You may want to write this one down on your notes in the back. There are no shortcuts to any place that's worth going. There are no shortcuts. I told you I wanted to write this stuff down because this is something you need to keep around. You can look at when you're getting frustrated during, just understand there are no shortcuts to any place worth going. I want to clue you in this morning. Financial success doesn't happen overnight. I just bursted some of your bubbles right now this morning. Financial success does not happen. Oh, in fact, any type of success in your life that matters doesn't happen overnight. So you know what we do? We want to be rich quick. So we go play the lottery. We spend millions and billions of dollars every year on playing the lottery. We drive 3 hours to Las Vegas because we are going to win big. And we are coming home, and we are buying everybody mansions and boats and G5, Mach 5 airplanes or whatever the private planes are called. And, you know, we are going to hook up the family. We are going to win it big. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Financial success does not come overnight. Just understand that. I know you're frustrated because you thought you were going to be 25 sitting on 25 mil and you're 25 and you barely got two nickels to rub together this morning. That one just came to me right now. Financial success doesn't come overnight. And shortcuts always come at a cost. You end up losing money. You end up getting swindled by somebody that's conned you into thinking that you're going to get rich overnight. Some diet pill that somebody offers you that tells you, and I'm not against diet pills, do whatever you got to do, but let me tell you what'll really work is watch your diet and hit the gym. Get some cardio in your life every single. Why don't you try running every day for like 30 or 40 minutes in a couple of months? You'll start to lose weight. You can't eat ice cream. Man, this 21-day fast is only day 7. I'm like dying because I haven't had a dessert in 7 days. I'm telling you, 3 weeks of this, I'm not fasting for physical reasons, but, you know, it's a great byproduct of the fast. I'm going to lose a few pounds just because I'm simply cutting out bad food in my diet. I don't know why I got off on that. I'm not your fitness coach this morning, but I want you to understand this, that there are no shortcuts. Listen to what Proverbs says. Proverbs is this book that's got this wealth of wisdom. He says, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. And then he says, instead of taking the shortcut, why don't you be one of the faithful people? A faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. It's just being faithful. It's being faithful. I was blessed. I had parents that taught me when it came to my finances. My parents taught me this 10-10-80 rule. You give 10%. You save 10% and you live off the rest. And they taught me this at a really young age. Like, I've already started teaching this to my children. Megan's 14 and I'm teaching her this principle. And my parents were teaching me that at a really young age. So I was blessed because I had parents that taught me this. And so I remember my very first paycheck. It was, I gave 10%. I set aside 10% for savings. And then I lived off the rest. And it wasn't a lot of money at that time at 16 years old. But do you know that there has not been one paycheck since I was 16 years old that I have not saved at least 10% of what I took in? Now, I'm not some major financial success, but I am where I am today. It wasn't overnight. That was, almost 25 years ago. I'm like Abraham, it's 25 years before the promise. But 25 years later, I can log onto that 401k account and be like, dang, you're looking pretty good right about now. It didn't happen overnight. I'm trying to help somebody just practically this morning. Proverbs says a faithful person will be richly blessed. But you go chasing after some fantasy, you'll not go unpunished. Write this down. Overnight success takes, you ready for this? It takes years. Overnight success takes years. And here's the deal. The delays to the promises of God can cause us a lot of frustration. They bring out sides of you that you maybe you didn't even realize they were there. They cause a lot of, like, you ever had anybody had any traffic delays? Anybody drove on the Southern California, the 10 freeway, right? We hate the 10 freeway. And you get stuck in a traffic jam, and you're supposed to be somewhere, and your Waze app is telling you that there's like a 20-minute delay, and it starts bringing out a side of you that you didn't know was there. Right? You didn't know. You got road rage and you start saying obscenities towards those cars that are sitting in front of you. I know none of you do that, but there's people out there that do this. They start giving, you know, the number one finger to the guy next to them, right? And tell them that they're number one. And then they invite them to Red Chapel for Sunday morning service. It's delays. It causes frustrations. And so we think, let's take the shortcut. But the shortcut will cost you something. It'll cost you. It rarely works out the way we intended, and more often than not, it backfires on us. We're always looking for the shortcut. For the holiday, for Christmas, I bought Drew, my son, he's 10, and he wanted some Legos. And so I bought Drew some Legos. And it was a few days after Christmas. It was kind of, you know, that lull. We kind of take that week. We try to have a lot of family time. And Drew said, "Dad, I want you to put together this Lego set with me." And those of you that know me know I'm not a very patient man. And so I decided, the box said that the Legos, it was like 9 to 12 years old or something, right? And I'm like, okay, I got this. I'm 39 years old. I think I can handle how to put together. So I told Drew, he dumps out Legos. And Legos ain't like they used to be, right, 20 years ago. Legos were like big blocks. No, Legos, they come like 500 pieces that are like this small that you can barely even find what they're telling you to grab to put together. And so I'm looking at this mess on the floor. I'm like, all right, Drew, listen, let's do this the easy way. Put the box up. All I need is a picture. That's it. Just show me the picture and I can get there. And like 30 minutes go by and I wasn't quite yelling obscenities because my 10-year-old son was there. But I was frustrated because I'm not making any progress. There are no shortcuts. And inevitably, when we take a shortcut, we end up with a less than product. We end up with a promise that was never intended. The results don't look like the picture on the box. And the truth is, we've probably wasted a lot of time and energy doing something our way, only to realize that the best way was to follow the directions all along. Sorry, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. And when you're trying to build something, it's not just take a look at the picture and go. You're trying to build a healthy family. You're trying to build relationships. We're trying to build this financial empire. There are no shortcuts. Sorry, there are no shortcuts. Write this down. Nothing worth having comes easy. And in our spiritual life, it's the same way. We often receive a promise from God, and when we get tired of waiting, we try to make it happen on our own. And yet, when it's all said and done, the shortcuts we took leave us with a promise that isn't really the promise at all. It doesn't look anything like what God promised, and we have to go back and decide to trust God to bring his promise to pass just as he said he would. It's pretty simple, really. When you're faced with the delay, just accept the fact that there are no shortcuts. Sorry. There are no shortcuts. But the truth is, sometimes, even when we know we shouldn't, when we know we should stay the course, we know that there really are no shortcuts. The truth is, sometimes we still decide to take things in our own hands. We still decide to detour. We still decide to go on our own way. We decide that we're going to come up with our own means to the end. So Pastor Donnie, what do we do then? Right? Like, it's easy to stand up here and to give you advice that you need to stay the course, that there are no shortcuts. But the truth is, every one of us here this morning, at some point, we veered off course. No? Okay. Well, the truth is, y'all a bunch of liars this morning. We've all veered off the course. Ain't none of you perfect. You're looking all good here this morning in your Sunday best. But if we go back a few years, you tried a shortcut. You didn't wait on that relationship. You ran straight to third base and you tried a shortcut, right? We all make mistakes. So, Pastor Donnie, thanks for the advice. Thanks for the guide on what to do in a delay. But tell me, what do I do when I've already screwed up? And so what I thought I would do is, in this last point, I would say to you, in the event, God forbid that you make a mistake, that you get off course, that you try a shortcut, but in the event of a detour. And if you haven't listened to anything else I've said up until now, I had you write that down. You don't even have to write down the rest. I want you to tune in with me for just about 5 minutes right now, okay? Because I'm going to share something really important with you. In the event of a detour. Here's what we know about Abraham. The man that God gives this gigantic miracle of a promise to is Abraham was a guy who failed. He made a mistake. In fact, it seems like at times Abraham was almost trying to frustrate God because he makes such colossal mistakes. It's like he's trying to see how mad he can get God to get at him. He went on his own way. He made his own decisions often. He was this king of detours. He was a master at failing. And listen to me this morning, Red Chapel. Every time he failed, he was met with a God of grace. Every time God told him, don't get off course, and he still went off course. Like, you got kids, right? You tell them, don't do that, and they still, every time, when he tried the shortcut, he still always was met by a God of grace. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, which is in the New Testament, the author, he's looking back, and he's in Hebrews chapter 11. It's this famous passage of scriptures. And we kind of, as Christians, we call it the Hall of Faith, right? You've heard of the Hall of Fame, right? It's like all the greatest football players and baseball players or whatever sports players. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 is like the Christian's Hall of Faith because it lists these men that had men and women who had extraordinary faith. And look what when the author writes about Abraham and Sarah, listen to what he says. He says, by faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, she received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who promised was faithful. And then he talks about Abraham. He says, therefore, from one man, in fact, I love this verbiage, in fact, from one man who was as good as dead. Now, the author here could be referring to the fact that Abraham's 100 years old. The dude is dead. And I think that's part of it. But could it be, too, that the author's looking back and he sees Abraham? Because we kind of use this, phrase, good as dead, right? It's kind of a cliche to us. And we use it in terms with people that have made the colossal failure, right? Like, dude, you messed up. And when you get home, you're on your own, bro. Your wife is going to kill you when she finds out you bought that brand new Harley. Or, you know, whatever it was. And we'll say, like, dude, you are as good. And we're referring to the fact that somebody has made a mistake that is so big that doom is their destiny. I think maybe that's what the writer, he says, but this person, the one that was good as dead, out of him came offspring that was as numerous as the stars of the heaven and as innumerable as the grains of sand by the seashore. Here's what Abraham learned is that his failures are not final. So in case of a detour, I've got a couple things. Go ahead, open up your notebook real fast. Once again, I want you to write this down because here's what you need to know. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to get off course. You're going to try shortcuts. And here's what you need to know this morning is that your failure is not final. Write this down. Failure doesn't kill the promises of God. Oh, some of you don't believe that this morning, but I'm here to tell you this morning, firsthand experience, failure doesn't kill the promises of God. Write this down. Mistakes don't derail God's plans. Even when Abraham took the promise of God into his own hands and he detours tremendously, God met him there and he set things straight. And here's why I'm so passionate about this morning. Because some of you here today, you think the colossal failure that you made 5 years ago or you made it last night, you think that that kills the promises of God in your life. And I've come to tell you this morning, failure doesn't kill God's promises. And your mistakes do not derail God's plans that he has in your life. And you need to know this, just like Abraham, you're going to fail. You're going to fail hard. You're going to fail often. And just know when you look up, you'll always be met by the God of grace. Some of you are dealing with this. You're dealing with detours in your life. You messed up. You didn't handle the delay properly. And now you're left with moral failure and secret failure and public failure. And you let people down. You've disappointed yourself. You think you've botched your relationship with God. But hear this. When you fail, you will always be met by the God of grace. You'll always be met. When you fall down, when you detour, you'll always be met by the God of grace who's helping to get you right back on track. Here's what you need to know this morning. God's promises still stand. God's plans for your life, they're still intact. I know you detoured. I know you got off course. But I want you to know this morning, God's plans for your life haven't changed. And the promises that he prophesied over your life, your failure and your mistakes have not derailed God's promises from coming to pass. It was a long time, don't get me wrong, 25 years later. But when we look back at the life of Abraham, he is a man today that is the father of descendants that are as many as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. Hebrews don't write about Abraham's mistakes. They write about God's faithfulness. They write about the grace of God. God will remain faithful even when you're not. I know it's quiet in here because you want to know why it's quiet right now? And some of you, you're not really sure about what I'm saying right now. It's easy to say it, but it's harder to believe it. You can tell other people, oh, God's plans are still intact for your life, but you make a mistake. You fall down. You detour. And it's a little harder to believe it. Because you got the voice of the enemy this morning, and he's lying to you. And he's speaking lies over your life this morning. He's telling you, that failure, that is like, I mean, God probably could have got you out of a lot of predicaments. But that one? Really, you had to go and do that? You had to screw up that big. You had to make that big of a mistake. Listen to me. God will always be there to get us back on track. God will always be faithful to his promise. His promise. His promise. His promise. So if you're not in a delay or if you haven't made the mistake, stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course. If you're thinking about a shortcut, sorry, there are no shortcuts. But if you're like the rest of us this morning and you made a mistake, if you got derailed, you got detoured, in case of a detour, in the event of a detour, in the event of a detour, know that your failure doesn't kill the promises of God. And your mistakes don't derail God's plans for your life. And this morning, I want you to know that you have an opportunity to come face to face with the God of grace. The God of grace. I want you to stand with me this morning. I feel so strongly today that the Holy Spirit this morning is speaking to some of us. Here's what I feel like today. I feel specifically the Holy Spirit is going to speak hope into our life this morning. Like amidst the ashes of the mistakes and the failures and all the aftermath and all the chaos that wants to deplete you of any faith in yourself and God this morning. In the middle of all that and all the voices of the enemy and yourself and the guilt and the shame that are going to compile. They want to compile a voice upon another voice in your life to try to cloud out God's vision and promise for your life. There is a voice that I am going to pray in just a moment that I'm praying that would speak above and louder than all those other voices. It's the voice of hope this morning. That God's not through with you. That God's not through with you. That your failure didn't kill God's promises. And that your mistakes did not derail God's plans. And I'm telling you, as we pray in just a moment, the Holy Spirit's going to begin to speak that hope to you. I'm asking you to grab a hold of that and believe. Believe with me this morning. Believe with me this morning that in the event of a detour, you'll always be met by the God.